Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cadle, pastor at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in Los Angeles, California.
And I'm Zach Barris. I am employed and called as the pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado Boulder. And I'm coming to you live today here, Matt, from the Pacific Northwest. It is a rainy, cold and rainy day here in God's County, Boulder County. We need it, Matt. It'll help, hopefully, us to catch on fire a little less. Been a while.
That's good. Yeah.
The stain.
Yeah. Rain, well, that's
been a while.
It's been a while. Good. Good. I'm glad
you're getting some rain. Outside of the tickets I have for an outdoor concert tonight, this is fantastic.
Like I said, you know, U2's Under a Blood Red Sky, not the greatest weather, made for a very dramatic concert. So maybe you'll get that post-storm dramatic skies.
Waxahachie under an Earl Grey tea sky, pea soup sky.
Yes, I would love, let's release an album called Under an Earl Grey Sky.
We live in the least Earl Grey sky places in the United States, but we can make that happen.
Yes. Yeah,
we just have to like record it in the Northwest or something.
That's right.
And we need to like learn instruments and stuff and come up with songs. Then we'll be set.
Let's just start a mission start in the Northwest. Those are successful and there aren't any currently. So.
Sign me up, man. Sign me up. Bishop Shelley, Bishop other ones. Matt and I, we have a price. We love our jobs. But we have a price. And if it includes getting an album out there called Under an Earl Grey Sky, that's the price. Under an Earl Grey Sky. There's no place for that on your rostered minister profile, Matt. There's not like alternative forms titles of compensation that you can be swayed by.
Right. Yeah, right. It's true. Send your rain this way when you're done with it. We're under water restrictions. Mm. I can only water my beautiful lawn only twice a week now.
Dang, so
I'm
man.
I'm going to have to dial it down from 7 times a week to 2. That's just...
You're on 7? How? Look, wait a second. No. Matt? No. Matt? Matt? If we...
I'm pretty sure it was another... when we bought the house, I'm pretty sure it was on 14 times a week just to make it electric green.
Is this another episode of the Landed Gentry cast?
I think so.
I always feel bad about that. I don't know like how many times I'm supposed to water. Like I need the grass to live so I retain like value in my home, right? And it would be a giant expense if the grass all died. But what is... I did xeriscaping. I got a grant to do that. I took out grass. I've done that, right?
Nice.
I want to show my full white guilt stuff here, right? Put it on the table. I've done my part, but I still have a sprinkler system. I still have grass. So every day, is every day too much? Like, is it every day for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes? Like what? It's hard to be Landed Gentry. People don't underappreciate this, you know, how difficult it is for homeowners. And by homeowners, there are people who owe an incredible amount of money to financial institutions.
I know. Yes. No one will have sympathy for us.
No. Listening to this. Thanks for joining us on the Landed Gentry cast. We'll see you next time. Bye. Good app, Matt. That was a good one. Good. I really like it. Made me emote. That's the thing I liked about that episode.
Good. Good app. Good. Good app.
Nothing too heavy going on in the news for preachers to have to deal with. So that's good, right?
Yeah, definitely no Supreme Court leaks a few days before Mother's Day. So that'll be...
I guess I had forgot Mother's Day was coming.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to talk about.
What do you even do, Matt? Like, especially from the pulpit, like, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this a little bit early. You know, again, like, just my advice. I mean, there are things to say, and some people have said some thoughtful things on social media. But again, like when you step into a pulpit, like you are not preaching to your social media feed.
Right.
So you're preaching to your community that has gathered there. And so there are things to say, but like you have to shape that in a way for your particular community. And that is just a unique task that is distinct from a post on social media. So I'm thinking through some of that, balancing that with the needs of my community to do something about Mother's Day. So I gotta say something. I gotta say something. I gotta dress somehow. And I think fortunately for us, we've got, this is going to be last week's podcast, but, we got Tabitha. So we have a woman mm-hmm. of faith here, a disciple. We've got, I think my theme is going to be Good Night Stories for Rebel Girls. We're going to some stuff. So
maybe
we'll see where that goes. What do you think? What do you think, Zach?
Oh man, I think it's so difficult. Like, you know, it is one thing to preach to the choir on social media or to the unconverted who aren't going to convert, you know, to the uncircumcised Gentiles. But I mean, it's been, you know, I think we're talking about abortion. if we name it on the podcast, good luck preaching it. But it is like, it's been weaponized as a wedge issue, you know? And so, I mean, that like has realities for you as a preacher preaching to a community of which you are a part, like, and, yeah, it's tough. I'm not envious of folks getting into pulpits this weekend.
Yeah. Again, like, I think super contextual. Also, I just want to say your sermon doesn't have to carry everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are other places in the liturgy. So like we have a litany that we're going to use at the beginning. It's not the one that's been going around, but there's a litany we'll use. We have prayers of the people, also a great place where you do some nuance, you know, because you're praying for people.
Yeah.
In that part of the service. So look to the rest of the service too, to hold some of that weight, because there are things you're called to say, but there's also things that, that might fit better elsewhere in the service. You know,
that's good advice, man. Cause you know, I think I try to think about ministry and what we do, especially in terms of like outcomes, and not that everything has to have an outcome, but that I'm aware of what, if a thing is not going to have like a super big change, like when we do the feet washing on campus, right? Like I'm not under the illusion that we're going to wash a million feet and everybody's going to be saved and it's going to be like an Acts sort of thing. But I'm okay with that like outcome. And so thinking through outcomes, not just in terms of like CYA sort of stuff of like not getting fired that week. But in terms of what you do in the service in worship can most affect like positive change going forward. You know, I mean, there are a bunch of different layers to it, right? And there's a pastor. I mean, the most immediate thing I think if for myself as a worship leader would be attending to like the pastoral need for people in your congregation who are distraught, shaken by this leak and stuff. Because that's the thing that I think I have the most power to affect. Versus, though, you know, here in Boulder, one of those guys is one of those old white guys is our neighbor, Neil Gorsuch, practicing.
Really? From Boulder?
Episcopalian. Yeah, he goes to the other Episcopal church in town.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. So if I see him, maybe I'll talk to him, but I don't think he's going to come to the church this week.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just another example of this particular task, like you're speaking to specific people. So as you prepare that sermon, again, like you're not shouting from a rooftop. You are speaking to, think of the people in your congregation.
Yeah. You know?
And I can't tell you what that is, but
yeah, I mean, nobody enjoys shouting into the void as much as I do, Matt. It's most of what my life is.
That's what your podcast is for.
That's what you got a podcast for. But in order to like shout into the void, which has a place, I think, in preaching, I think the experience of your community that you're like naming when you do that from the pulpit has to be pretty all encompassing. That like, you know, after the shooting in Boulder, right? Like that's a good time. Because that affects everybody and everybody. I mean, not everybody, you know, sure. Everybody with an asterisk, right? Like, you can make those sort of assumptions about everybody feels this way, and I need to name the thing that we feel. But unfortunately, with like this, I'm not sure that's. I mean, it's super contextual, as you've said. And if that's your context, you know, go for it. But I'm assuming that's not most people's context.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, just some getting you into that light summer preaching, like your Michael Crichtons, your pulp paperbacks on the beach.
Indeed. Yeah, it's an interesting season. We're continuing to make our way through the book of Acts. So we talk about these texts.
Let's do it. You know, some people say making your way in the world today takes everything you got.
Some people say that. Fifth Sunday of Easter, I believe, is what we're on.
That's correct, fifth man. Good counting. Sunday
of Easter. And this is Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. So, fun fact, you might want to know, we're coming in at the middle of the story. But don't worry, because Peter's going to catch you up on everything that's happened.
It's a recap. It's
a total recap.
You should, you know, normally you'd say, you would instruct your readers to say, like, the proper thing. The last time I was in a worship class, which was just, I don't know, 15 years ago. The thing to say is a reading from Acts. Or write the Acts of the Apostles. This week, what you should instruct your reader to say is, previously on the Acts of the Apostles.
Yep. And that, that's literally what Peter's going to do that. Now, the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. What? So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Seems like a strange question, not one that we're asking today in quite these words, but maybe we do ask it in a lot of different ways. Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, "All right, here's what happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance, I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. And as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. And I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, and then everything was pulled up again to heaven. Now at that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. And the Spirit told me to go with them, and not to make a distinction between them and us. No more the circumcised, uncircumcised. Do not make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Rock. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had fallen upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God then gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" And when they heard this, they were silenced. And they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Word of God, word of life.
Wow, man. Such a powerful reading. I nearly died during it.
That's the impact that this text has.
Yeah. Every time I read news reports about miraculous things, that's what happens. The secondhand stories are what really get me.
So the core issue here, it seems to be, is who's in, who's out, how can it be that the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, can be a part of this new community of the way. And that's a powerful question. We may not have uncircumcised debates as much, but we certainly have debates about who is in and who is out, and what that looks like. I'm struck both by that like central question that you might want to find a way to tease out in your preaching, but also the way that gets, you could that could probably be explained in two sentences. Hey, y'all, everyone's welcome. We could just say that. But instead we get this batshit crazy vision with four corner sheet and animals and get up, Peter, kill Nate. Okay, so these are animals that Jewish folks were not supposed to eat, and so now Peter's allowed to eat them. Okay, I can unpack that. But this is what? This is bonkers. This is like a whole vision with it's a lot going on. But it reminds me of how, even today we need these different ways in. So I've got my tickets to Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness on Friday. Really excited. Looking forward to that. Love my comic book stories. But for me, sometimes they're a way. They're not just escapism, but they're a way to explore these different things. And somehow my mind likes to see these crazy visions as a way to explore just some fundamental questions about life and how to live it.
I like it, man.
So here it is, Peter and the Multiverse of Madness right here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of Doctor Strange and gosh, I wonder how circumcision fits in there.
You're gonna find out.
Matt, when my child was born, we did not know we didn't receive the information of sex before the birth. And so when our daughter came out, we were mostly pretty excited because we only were really settled on a name that we might give to a girl. But we were also really excited because we didn't have to decide whether to circumcise them or not, which is a decision you have to make. And I don't know. In the church, perhaps we don't argue about circumcision much anymore, but there are vast, vast parts of the internet where people do argue at length about circumcision and its merits and unique place in American culture. How To with John Wilson, which is a fabulous HBO show, has a circumcision episode. Have you seen that, Matt?
No.
It is wild. He interviews a guy who is trying to regrow his foreskin and developing technologies, quote unquote technologies in quotations, to help people regrow foreskin after circumcision. And given what we talked about in the A block here, Matt, about, if you were braver than I, right, you could preach a circumcision sermon where you don't talk about abortion at all. That's all about abortion and the Supreme Court and stuff. So I'm struck by that number one, the perhaps more helpful for more people thing is when I do my Girardian quick off the cuff thing with folks, one of the things I say is that, the good news is that despite all of our efforts to scapegoat and create insiders and outsiders, God and Jesus are continually inviting us into the reality that already exists, that we all belong, and that our response to that is to say, that sounds fantastic, Jesus. But I mean, not those assholes, the Ammonites, right? Those guys suck. And Jesus is like, no, also the Ammonites. I think this is an extension of that story, of that continued work of God in the world of expanding what that belongingness looks like.
Yeah, for sure. That reminds me I just reread Michael Chabon's Manhood for Amateurs, just an excellent excellent collection of essays. He has a whole essay in there about him and his wife deciding to circumcise their youngest, and just like talking together about how insane it is. And yet they do it anyway. And just why, you know, all the things that go into that. And I do think it's relevant even for a text like this, because we're thinking about, you know, like why do we do these religious practices and what do they mean for us? And then they might seem a little bit out there. I wonder, thinking about this, so circumcision and eating, right? Cleaner, unclean mm-hmm. foods. Okay, these are like things that distinguished one community from another, and we called that good. But then we move to the end of the story, and it's like, hey, so great news, everyone! Now everyone can be baptized. So is the next move to say baptized, unbaptized? Doesn't matter. You're all in. Is that the next move along this spiral?
Oh, I guess you'd have to keep reading Acts to see where they go next time on the Acts.
Or keep living Acts here today. I don't know. It's a question for you, dear listeners. Oh,
we're not going to get into it, Matt.
I thought it was a good question.
Yes and no. It's a good question. I'm going to make it less fun for a second. Here's one of the things that's really bizarre about that is like, how would you know that you approached uncircumcised men? Right. And that was an essential part of what circumcision meant in the Hebrew for the people of Israel, right? Is that it was a secret, private sign that only you could see. Mm-hmm. But whether it is circumcision or whether it is what you eat, it is really clear that those things are things that we came up with. Right? That they are that circumcision, there's so many terrible metaphors here, allusions, scapegoating. Circumcision was a form of scapegoating, right? That you would, these people are in and those people are out. And that they all were human constructions. A couple weeks ago, I think I talked about it on here, Dr. Sarah Soke was with us, who is a professor of political science at the University of Colorado, specializing in post-Soviet countries, to talk to students about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine. And she talked about how different and difficult this has been for Russian soldiers compared with when, you know, they did this sort of stuff in Chechnya and in Georgia, because there are Ukrainians look, there are no like real like significant physical differences between Ukrainians and Russians. And that's not true in those like Caucasian places. You know, and so you hear like the radio stuff from Russians that are like, we don't know who to shoot. They look like us. Right. And like, that's revealing. I mean, that's the same sort of like revelation that happens here in the Acts, that we don't know who to be, who's not us, because they look like us.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things we've constructed to create difference among us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that not looking like someone is a justifiable reason to scapegoat them, but.
Indeed. Well, lots to work with in Acts. Lots of visions in this season, too. This one starts with Peter's vision, or at least he's describing the vision that he had. R.I.P. And then continue.
R.I.P. Yes, vision.
Maybe he's coming back. Spoilers. Maybe that's part of the multiverse. I don't know. Revelation, also full of visions. Revelation 21.
Well, let's see here, Matt. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down like a sheet for... No, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. And he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And to the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I wonder, Matt, I don't know. I'm so culturally, contextually placed in a, informed in a moment in time when Revelation was like the hottest topic in church conversations because of the work of our good friend, what's his name? The brother of the, of what's her name in Full House. What's his name? The guy, you know what I'm talking about. The guy who's in all the Left Behind movies. Kirk Cameron. Yes. Thanks to Kirk Cameron's outsized influence and the Left Behind books, which I can only assume were written by Kirk Cameron. I don't think that's true, but I think we should all say it. They were huge. And so like, all of our wrestling with Revelation was a response to the outsized presence of the Left Behind thing. As I'm talking to young adults, right, who were born after all of that happened, they don't seem to be as concerned about answering questions that I had as a young adult around the Left Behind stuff. So I wonder, like, what's the best way to engage it? Because my gut, my initial reaction, flavored by that time, is to say, you know, yes, there is like a new heaven, new earth. The sea is no more. But there is this like, it's a God coming down. It's a very Lutheran story that the new world that's coming is here. It is now. See, the home of God is among mortals. God dwells here among mortals. And so that's like the good news emphasis that I would have for it, that the new thing that is coming is here and now. And I'm tempted. I cannot help but to hear that as in conversation with a vision of a revelation in particular that sees the new thing, not here, not now, that this will all be destroyed. And so screw it sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. I love that. And that line, I'm making all things new. I see these notes from 3 years ago when we talked about this, when we contrasted that with all new things. It could have been I'm making all new things. I'm getting rid of all the old things. Yeah. I'm just gonna make all new things.
We were
but this seems to say like, right? We were really smart then. here's this, I'm making all the things that currently exist. I'm gonna make them new.
Yeah.
Which is a really different kind of vision.
Maybe that's the good news. Today, Matt, is I'm done. I finished my 22nd semester at the University of Colorado Boulder in ministry. Today's the last day of exams, but we don't do any programming today. Did all my exam week meals. I've mentioned it here before. We were doing a queer catechism thing, and we had a really good conversation. We have a number of trans students in our group, and somehow we were going through the creeds. There we go. Where the creeds are talking about the resurrection of the dead. And I heard a student make this like really heartfelt, compelling, like, proclamation that they didn't want to believe in the resurrection, like the physical resurrection, because they've been spending their whole life trying to get out of this body. And they don't want to have to like, it's not good news that you got to go back into it, at some point, that it's just been a life of trying to escape. And I wonder if that's, and we, you know, we had, it was great. We didn't solve anything, but I wonder if that line might be a helpful thing to hear, right? Is that all things will be made new, right? They won't be, it's not even renewed, right? Like it's not a going back to the perfect state of the way things were, but it's taking the things that are and making them anew. It's a forward movement, right? It's not a backwards thing. And maybe there's some hope and good news in that.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Well, let's see what new things Jesus is doing in the gospel.
Not very new.
To John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. And if you thought you were going to miss Maundy Thursday this year just because you didn't show up during Holy Week, the RCL has outmaneuvered you.
Yeah.
Preacher, maybe nobody came to your Maundy Thursday service this year because they were all scared about you touching their feet. But you had a great sermon. You get to do it again. This is great.
Get to do it again, or you can do the foot washing again. Oh, I missed y'all on Maundy Thursday. Guess what? Here's the wash basin. Get in line.
Oh gosh.
That's yeah, good. These
please, preacher, if you pull up, if you, I mean, I'm here for all of the weird ways to do washing of the feet, right? So if you do public foot washing, holler at me, but also holler at us if you surprise your congregation with foot washing in Easter. Oh, that makes me happy.
It's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Yeah, these gospel texts, you know, you get some stories and Acts, and you get visions in Revelation, and you're like, what in the world are we getting from John? But you get these farewell discourses. Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. We're suddenly mm-hmm. back to Maundy Thursday. We're back to the Last Supper. And he's given them some final instructions, some basic instructions before leaving earth. actually true in this particular case. Mm-hmm. Just some basic
instructions. Returning
just love one
another. Like some fine print.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that is definitely the context. We're back on Maundy Thursday.
It fits well. You know, there's so much, I was going to say meat on the, in the Acts. The Acts test has a lot going on there. There's a lot to explore and preach. And so if you're feeling like you want to do new things and explore that, maybe it's new, it'd be new to me to really go into the Acts. But again, I don't do a lot of preaching during the season of Easter because of my academic calendar. But this would support it well, you know, love one another, mandatum, the new law, love one another. That's pretty simple stuff that can look pretty miraculous, as you said, Matt, as it's lived out there in Acts.
Amen. Good stuff. What are we listening to?
Well, Matt, I am struck by, you know, most of the time, if someone were to come to me and say, Zach, let's get a cup of coffee. Can I stop by the office? I need to chat, right? You know, like normally that's not a good thing. They're not like, I've got some really good stuff going on. I want to tell you about it. If they came in and said, I heard a voice and it said, kill, eat. we'd have a lot to work through, right? And I guess Peter has a lot to work through here as well, but I'm struck by that. The issue for Peter here is purity in terms of consumption of meat, and all these animals show up before him. So I think there's no better artist to put on the playlist this week than Meatloaf, because all the meats are good now, so let's throw them into a loaf. We'll eat them that way. So I'm putting Meatloaf, also RIP, along with whoever it was, Vision. Yeah. There we go. And I'm going to go Paradise. I'm not going to do, you know, the super duper famous one, the one that everybody would go with. I'm going with Paradise by the Dashboard Light, because there's a vision coming into the world in Revelation. And I think it might be a little bit of Paradise. And your Dashboard Light, I've been there, you know, I went to high school. Dashboard Light letting you see this vision of a new world to come, the promise of all that shall be. So there's your Meatloaf. As we're seeing visions and stuff, this Revelation text makes itself into a ton of like bluegrass gospel stuff that we know night because Jesus is the light, sort of thing. Isn't that right? We got sun in this one, mm-hmm. didn't we? Yeah. But I'm going to go the other way with it, and I'm going to use a song from a little group, unheralded group, out of Liverpool, London, England. The Lovable Lads from Liverpool. Can you name them all, Matt? I think there's Jerry. There's the conductor, they called him, from Thomas the Tank Engine. There's Peter, or is it Simon Peter? Paul? Saul. Saul, who played the bass and was very whiny in the intergroup dialogue. And then the one whom Jesus loved was the lead singer, I think. It's the Beatles, spelled incorrectly, a typo that they had to live with forever. I'm going to put Here Comes the Sun, because there's a vision of a new world coming, and sun's rising on it, even though there is no sun. But don't worry, don't think too hard about it. And last, Matt, Love One Another. I've been illicitly watching the latest season of Dairy Girls, so I'm going to go with a lovely Irish band that'll keep you warm on a rainy, cold night in the People's Republic of Boulder, the Cardigans, RIP. Loveful. Love me, love me. That's all you got to do. Yeah, I should have put that on. Have I put that on? I should have put it on when last week, 2 weeks ago with Peter D. Love me.
Yeah. No, that'd be good. That'd be good too. Or Tabitha, she's making cardigans or tunics for those. That's what you get. Fits all the time, just every week. Oh wow, what have I got? Well, some of the songs from last time are still pretty good. You'll Be Coming Down by Bruce Springsteen. Just all these visions coming down from the heavens. You'll Be Coming Down from 2007's Magic, which is a fantastic album. Clean by Taylor Swift from 1989. And then I was like, how do I know this line? You Look For Me and I'll Be Gone. It's because it's Moby has a song called One of These Mornings where he takes a sample, one of these old gospel samples, and remixes it. And that's the line. One of these mornings, you will look for me and I'll be gone. Cool. So let's do One of These Mornings.
I'll have to go when the whistle blows. Because the whistle knows my name, man. Baby, I was born on a train. If there were trains back during the ancient Near East, Jesus would constantly be on a train, right? Like he would be for sure, like riding the rail.
Yep. Yep.
That's the greatest fault in the Bible, that there are no trains.
Agreed. Well, it's been real.
Real vinyl.